message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Our biblical text of where we're going to spend the next couple weeks, whereas we talk about what? We're going to talk about, what did I say, the four things
providence,
are providence,
priorities,
participation, and provision. And this is leading us to a place of why I believe God is going to exponentially bless our houses individually and corporately. So here we are. This is a little diagram that we want to grab hold of. Starts here about this captivity of 70 years. Real quick history lesson. Remember, Jeremiah, prophet to Israel, prophet to Judah specifically, but a prophet of the Lord spoke to Judah and said, because you have not honored God, not kept his ways, not kept his commandments, the Lord is going to come and take you out of your land and you will spend 70 years in captivity. But when the Lord opens up the door after 70 years, you'll return back to the land of promise. Okay, so when we look at this, when we look at this passage, and we look at the moment, and we look at this picture, we need to see something here. Judah has gone through 70 years of captivity living in Babylon under the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. His empire gets eclipsed by the Persians, but after the 70 years, there begins to be a wave of reintegration out of Babylon back into the land of promise where Jerusalem is. At this now these are some dates, 538, 515. I'm not asking you to get into the date side of this. Zerubbabel is a key figure that we're going to look at in this passage. During this first wave, the temple is rebuilt, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Haggai is the prophet that the Lord uses in this period of time to speak to Judah. He also uses another prophet, Zechariah, and they have some overlapping ministry here. Then we have a 57-year gap. You have Queen Esther. Everyone knows the story about Queen Esther in the Bible, right? We have Queen Esther, but that's happening over in Babylon and the Persian Empire. But while that's occurring, we have another period of time where God uses the priest Ezra to bring revival to the people of Judah in Jerusalem. Then you have a 12-year gap, and where Nehemiah comes, and he helps rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And then we have Nehemiah going back to Babylon and then coming back a second time. You have the prophet Malachi ministering in that period of time. And then this brings us up to where we were with John the Baptist. After Malachi, 400 years of God's silence until the Lord starts to speak once again to John the Baptist. Now this is important because we're going to focus today on this section. And then next week we're going to focus on this section. This is very important. But for the scope of where we are, we're going to be here today and here next week. Now, I'm going to keep that up just so you kind of have a visual there. Let's get into our scripture, Haggai chapter 1. I'm going to read it, and then if you have a different translation, just follow along. So let's start here. Starts with as follows. This is what the Lord's armies say. Start with verse 1. On the first day of the sixth month in Darius, that's the king in Persia, in Darius' second year as king, the Lord spoke his word through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, who is the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the chief priest Joshua. I want to insert here something real quick. That's really important you grab that about Zerubbabel. The fact that it tells you who his father was, Shealtiel, is very important because when you read in Matthew and it talks about the genealogy of Christ, remember the prophecy said that the Messiah was going to come out of the line of David. That's where the Messiah's bloodline was going to come from. Now we know Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit, But the actual, well, how do we know where the Messiah is going to come, had to be traced through a line of who was going to carry the seed. It was promised to David that the Lord was going to be in his house forever and carry the plan of salvation through his house. The problem was the last king of Judah, which was the bloodline, died and his sons were killed. So there's no traceable bloodline. But there was. Shealtiel was a relative in the bloodline. Which is very important when we get to this man Zerubbabel, because it's telling you, here's who's still in the bloodline, so you know the word of God has not had a mistake. It was prophesied from the beginning. It has been kept that way. And even when you think, oh, well, where? Let me remind you, there was a man, his name was Shealtiel, of the bloodline of the house of David. His son, Zerubbabel, is not just some guy doing a natural job when he's about rebuilding the temple. He's part of a plan that God is restoring things. Okay, so that's important. This is not just little, oh, that's interesting. That's great. Okay, let's get into this word now. Verse 2. This is what the Lord of armies says. These people say it is not the right time to rebuild the house of the Lord. Verse 3. Then the Lord spoke his word through the prophet Haggai and said, is it time for you to live in your paneled houses while this house, meaning the temple, lies in ruins? Now this is what the Lord of armies says. Carefully consider your ways. We will cover that on Tuesday. You planted a lot, but you harvested a little. You eat, but you're never full. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You wear clothing, but you never have enough to keep you warm. You spend money as fast as you earn it. This is what the Lord of armies says. Carefully consider your ways. A second warning. Before I go any further, let me just add this. Remember, you planted, you harvested, but you didn't harvest proportionate to what you planted, right? You harvested a lot, but you got a little. You're eating, but you're still full. You're cold, but you do got clothes, but not enough to keep you warm. There's a God principle here, guys, that you can be sowing, expecting big harvest, and getting small returns. And we're going to see why. We're going to see why right here. Consider your ways. Verse 8. Go to the mountains, get lumber, and build the house. I will be pleased with it, and I will honor it, declares the Lord. Now verse 9. You've expected a lot, but you received a little. When you bring something home, I blow it away. Who's I? Answer, please. The Lord. It is because my house lies in ruins while each of you is busy working on your own house. It is because of you the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. Is it because of God? No. It's all God's, right? The harvest is the Lord's. The Lord is cutting the tap, right? He's kind of closed the spigot. It's still dripping. You're planting and you're reaping, but not proportionate. And the Lord says, it's not because of me. I have control of it. But it's because of you. Let's go on. I called for a drought on the land, the hills, and on the grain, and the new wine, the olive oil, and whatever the ground produces, on humans and animals, on all of your hard work. Then Zerubbabel, the chief priest Joshua, and here, this is huge, guys, the faithful few, not the majority, not the entire inhabitants in the land, the faithful few, returned from Babylon, obeyed the Lord their God. They also obeyed the words of the prophet Haggai because the Lord their God had sent him, because the people respected, your translation might say feared, respected the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, who had received the Lord's message, said to the people, I am with you, declares the Lord. Why is God with the faithful few? From Zerubbabel to Joshua, the chief priest, and the faithful few. Why? Just told us. Because they heard and obeyed. So now Haggai follows up what the Lord says. I'm with you, declares the Lord. I love this. Verse 14. The Lord inspired them to rebuild his house. So Zerubbabel, the chief priest, Joshua, and the faithful few who returned from Babylon began working on the house of the Lord of armies, their God. Now let's stop the text there. Have you ever found yourself saying the following? It can wait until tomorrow. There are more pressing things that need to be done today. Have we ever said that? Yeah. And of course, there are times that we have more important things that take precedent over our life. You know, this is part of why we become good managers, right? We have situations in our life and we evaluate them and we prioritize them. This is important. I got to take care of this. This is important. And it's the way we manage life so life doesn't get crazy on us and get out of control. We have to prioritize things. We just don't say, oh, it's all important right now. Let's get it all done. We just don't have enough hands, enough resources, enough time. But let me ask you this question. Are we guilty of misprioritizing things? Are we guilty of using the excuse, it can wait until tomorrow, there are more pressing things, to basically say, I will prioritize what is most important to me right now, even if it is not really most important in the grand scheme of things? Now, I'm guilty of that because my default way of coping when I have to do something is I start cleaning. So Jeanette will say, Josh, we need to take care of this. If it's something I don't want to do right now, I will go clean the house 5 times over. Does the house need to be cleaned? Yeah. 5 times over? Maybe. Is it more important that we need to be done at that moment? No. But what I do is I start saying, oh, I can't deal with that right now. Whatever it is, I can't deal with that right now. So I'm going to clean. I'm just going to clean. Oh, that looks good. Okay. Oh, now I'll paint. In other words, I start prioritizing things to avoid what really needs to get done. But it still needs to get done, right? You see where I'm going with that? So here's where we start to get to. What if we do all of this, right? We prioritize things. We are guilty of cleaning, organizing things as a way of avoiding and addressing that's really important. And here is why we do it. Because in the priority of life, and I'm going to insert everything in your life is life. Your kids, your job, your savings, you know, whatever it is you're doing, that's life. There's nothing wrong with life. Okay, there's nothing wrong with life. But what's the top priority in our life? What is it? Now your mind's now ticking, saying, where is he going with this? What is the top priority? Parents will say, my kids are my top priority. What is the top priority in your life? Or maybe I'll ask the question another way. Is the kingdom of God a priority in our life at all? And if it is, where does it fit in the priority of your life? I know we all say we are Christians. Who says it? Are we Christians? Yes. Raise their hands. Do we love the Lord? Yes. Do we go to church occasionally or often? Yes. Do we read our Bible? I'm just not seeing the hands. Yes. Are we living a lifestyle that we would say is a godly lifestyle? We're trying? Yes. Are we keeping the kingdom a first priority in our life? Are we saying the most important thing in my life is the kingdom of God? And from that top priority, everything else gets put in line. Now, this is really, really going to work on us. This is where I'm at, guys. This is what I'm working on right now. I'm a Christian. I got my praise music. It's on my iPod. It's on my car. It's you know, I'm not out there doing all the crazy stuff that the world's doing. I love Jesus, and I go out and I... But is the kingdom, even in all of this activity, is the kingdom a top priority in my life? I could trick myself and say maybe it is and maybe it's not. Because here's the question I'm wanting to ask back in Haggai. How did Haggai start? Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. God says to Haggai, these people say it is not the time to build the house of the Lord. You know what the people of Judah were saying? They're saying God's providence is not for us to build his house right now. We're going to go do more important things in life. They're using God's providence as an excuse not to keep God's kingdom their top priority. How do we know that? Because when the first governor gets there, the inhabitants come back. He's not a Judean. He's just a Persian. And he gets replaced by Zerubbabel. And what does Zerubbabel do? He gets there, and the first thing he does is he says, get the concrete trucks out. We are laying the foundation of the temple. Because we remembered, after 70 years, we got to get back to God's business. But Zerubbabel is still in charge. And 16 years later, Zerubbabel is looking outside his window, and the temple is a parking lot. There's not a wall, a room, a roof, a door. 16 years later. But Zerubbabel started by saying, we're going to build the temple. This is what God said to do. And the concrete got laid and everything's there. You know, it's like the job site. Look at the house of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then 16 years later, it's like weeds in the patch. And you're like, wasn't there supposed to be something there? Yeah. We're going to get to that. We're going to get there. But there's more important things right now. I got to get Main Street figured out. Main Street USA or Main Street Jerusalem. We got to get, you know, these shops are looking a little bit weird. We got to get businesses going back up. We got to get people back in business. We got to get jobs. We got to get people. But we got a parking lot here, and I thought that was supposed to be the temple. Something happened. Life happened. I'm not saying bad stuff is in life. I'm saying life happened. And life overtook the priority of the kingdom and the hearts and the minds of those who started by saying, I want to do this. I want to build this. I want to be obedient to God. So here's what we say. Don't use God's providence as an excuse to not set him and his kingdom as a priority. That was Judah's excuse. God said it's not time to do it. I have heard that so many times in people. The Lord told me, brother, right now is not my season to do that. Using God's providence as an excuse to not put the kingdom first. I'm going to give you, and I'm not speaking to anyone in this room. I'm not. I know two people specifically who have said the following things to me, and keep it in the context of what I'm saying. Don't think I'm talking about something else in this context. They have said the following. Pastor, I'm telling you, as soon as I get that taken care of financially, I will be a generous giver. You watch, I will give. You just give me time to get this squared away, and you will be amazed how much I will give. And to this day, 4 years later, they have not gotten one thing squared away, nor gotten one step closer to doing anything for the kingdom, and they're still saying, just one more month, Pastor. I'm telling you, when this comes through, you can count on me. I also know another person who said, now, Pastor, I want to get involved. I'm telling you, you haven't seen a guy like me when I get going for the kingdom. And I'm still waiting for them to get going for the kingdom. And you know what's gotten in their way? Life. Not bad things. It's like, the first thing they do when they see me is, oh, Pastor. Now, because they know what they said to me. And now, Pastor, I told you that, but remember, now, as soon as I just get this little thing tucked away, we're going to get this going. Amen, brother, amen. I know the story. Because I've made the same excuses. I've done the same thing. Lord, just give me a little bit more time to get this done, then I'm going to get busy about the kingdom. And I'm still doing life, and the kingdom is turning into a parking lot with a lot of weeds. And no one even cares, including the guy who's the priest. Remember, Zerubbabel was the governor, a city magistrate, just like in our governor, mayor, whatever. And Joshua was the chief priest. You would think at least that guy would have said, we got a problem here. The place where we usually do the house of the work of the Lord, where are we at with this plan? Well, he obviously got distracted too. It happens. Life gets in our way. Okay, so Haggai chapter 1 says, the Lord tells the people, these people. I love my son Joshua. I do. And when I am proud of him, you know what I say? Look what my boy has done. Right? I say, look at my boy. He did this. He became that. But when he does something that kind of displeases me, or it's not within character, what do I say? That boy over there, I'm telling you, he just about runs me tired. Now, everyone knows in this room, that boy over there is my son. But I'm not taking ownership of him at that moment. I'm saying it's hers or someone else's, or it's that boy. He's not my... When God says these people, who's he talking about? His people. But he's not saying my people. He's saying these people. Why? There's a distance that has been created between his people, sons and daughters, and him. Does he not love them? He loves them. Of course he loves them, because he's sending his word through the prophet to them to wake them back up. Does he hate them? No. Is he upset? These people. You bet. He's upset. He's saying, you're my people, but I'm telling you, these people. I got a distance here with you right now. These people. Now, we already read Haggai. We know why he's upset, because he's not a priority in their life. This is way more than a building, people. The building is just a physical manifestation of what should have been in the hearts of the people already. There was a distance between the people. But God was not a priority. His kingdom, his plan, his promise, 7 years in captivity, you're back at home, and the first thing you do is you lay the foundation and you forget all about him. Whoa! These people. These people indicates that there's a distance between what the Lord is saying, and there therefore is an unwelcome distance. So that's why he's using Haggai to call him back. But what we need to realize is this. What the Lord is wanting to do is he's wanting to call us back to him, and he as the priority in our life. So let's look at this a little bit more carefully. What happened? We won't go into the biblical text. But what happened in Judah is what happens to us right now in 2015. You know what happened to Judah when they came back from 70 years? Discouragement. Challenge, struggle, and life. Show of hands, and I do want you to please, how many of us deal with discouragement? Struggle, challenges, real life. How do I pay a bill, Lord? Got to pay the water bill. Got to pay the mortgage. That's life, right? Got to get my kids to school. Oh, the car doesn't work. I got to go to life. Is there anything wrong with life? No. Life is life. But life's not the priority. The kingdom's the priority. My car, if it breaks down, I pray it doesn't. But if it does, it's not the priority. The kingdom's the priority. If the kingdom is my priority, and we're going to see this in this teaching, if the kingdom's my priority, then I understand the providence of God. The providence of God is seek ye first the kingdom. What did John talk about? And what I was trying to teach us on preparing, repairing, and being usable. We need to be considering the legacy of God. The legacy of God is who he is. The legacy of God is how he reveals himself in the kingdom. We've been invited to be participants and residents of the kingdom. Blessings of the kingdom. But we don't get that if the kingdom's not our priority. If it's somewhere down the checklist or not on the list at all. So here's what we got going on. Discouragement, self-interest, real life. Okay, so here we go. I'm just mark it. Haggai 2:14. You know what's even more discouraging about these Judeans that are living in Jerusalem? Here's what's even more discouraging. In Haggai 2:14, the prophet says the following. He says that your offerings are defiled and displeasing to me. I need to really pause here for a moment. Do you know what Haggai is referring to? He's referring to something very clear. God's prophecy from Jeremiah was, when the 7 years of captivity is up, go home to the land of promise. Most of Judah didn't go home. They stayed in Babylon. And guess what they did in Babylon? Kept on offerings and kept on giving tithes and offerings and doing the rituals. And the prophet Haggai said, that is displeasing to God and it is defiled. Which means you and I, if we're not in the kingdom priority, which for Judah was, get up and go back and build the house of the Lord. And you say, but I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to do this, but I'm still going to go to church and give my tithe and be really religious and holy looking. God's saying, I see right through that facade, and even your offerings are defiled. And it is displeasing to me because you didn't consider what I said. After 70 years, go back and build my house. Don't stay in Babylon and be a good, pious person thinking you somehow found the middle road with me. You didn't keep me the priority. The priority was what I was doing after 70 years. In fact, he told Jeremiah to tell Judah, you're going into captivity, and the Lord says, build your homes, plant your vineyards, marry, have children, be blessed. But when the time comes, leave your vineyards, take your families with you, and return back to the place the Lord tells you.
Hallelujah.
Which meant for 70 years, and hello guys, we would know this. Let's just say for 70 years, you built a nice little thing going. And you got your business. A la Abraham and Ur. And the Lord says, get up and go to the place where the city and maker is God. And he says, but I got all this stuff going on. I got my family. I got a business. I got a good relationship here. I'm making some money, Lord. Let me just stay here. Be holy. Be righteous. I'll come and give you my tithe. I'll do the right things. I'll still worship you. I won't worship pagan gods. And he's like, no, that's defiled. And I'm not even pleased with that. I told you, get up, sell it, give it away. I don't care, but don't stay there. Go. Okay. Now, the Lord commanded through Haggai what? In Haggai 1:8, build the house. This is not a teaching about me asking you at the end of the message, give money to the church so we can build a church. That is not what this is about. This is about what the Lord said the priority for Judah was. Judah was to build the house of the Lord. This was their way of keeping the kingdom a priority. But they had 16 years got off track. Build the house. 16 years had passed. They laid the foundation. The temple was still unfinished. The message was spoken by the prophet to Zerubbabel and Joshua, a civic and religious leader. Does God just speak to religious people? No. I say that to say this. God can speak to me as the pastor of this fellowship. Not everyone here in this room are called to be, you know, pastors in this vocation. Y'all have jobs. Y'all have, you know, things that you do that you're very blessed to do. Can God speak to you about building the house of God and keeping the kingdom a priority? Do you need me to be the one who tells you to do that? No, I can encourage you to do it. I can give you the biblical evidences and proofs of why we do it. But if God can speak to a civic person like Zerubbabel, he can speak to you and tell you, keep the kingdom a priority in your life. And he can speak to me and say, Joshua, remind the people and in your own life to keep the kingdom a priority in their lives and in your life. Amen? Okay, that's important you get that, guys, because it's not just you have to listen and then do what I tell you to do. This is God's prescribed way of putting it out there for everyone. Do not make excuses. Haggai told Israel, do not waste any more time. Get the message right. Stop making excuses. Do not neglect God's house. It's time to finish the work of the house of God. Haggai points out to Judah, you are a selfish people because you have built your own houses and said it's not time to build God's house. Now, we just read that in Haggai, right? This is what God told the prophet. Is it okay for you to have your paneled homes and the house of God lay in ruins? That's amazing. Does God not want you to have blessing? Yes, he wants you to have blessing. He wants you to be tremendously blessed. But he wants you to keep the kingdom a priority. There's something wrong when we're the priority and the kingdom is a parking lot. Eventually, it's going to catch up with us. Because when all of a sudden we work hard and we're like, I don't know why I'm not getting as much as I used to get. But I got a little, and the Lord's with me. And when the rain is falling down, and it's saturating this area, and I'm just getting little, you know, blow-by trickles. I'm like, what's going on? The Lord said, you cut the spigot off. I'm just responding to what you're showing me. I'm not a priority. Okay. Now you see what it's like when the world doesn't have me as a priority. It may rain, they may get a little rain, they may get a little bit of the profit of the rain. But it's not because I'm blessing them, it's just how things are. When rain falls, some people get blessed, some people don't. But I bless those exponentially. I turn the water faucet on full blast if I'm the priority. We're going to see this right here in 1 second. Now, let's go on a little bit further, okay? How easy is it for us to make excuses for not doing God's work? I'm guilty of this. I'm speaking about me. I spend probably $30 a month on sweet tea at McDonald's. You know, it's $1.08 a drink. You get one a day, $30, right? Okay. I'm not going to ask you what you do at Starbucks. I know Starbucks isn't $1 rate for a sweet tea or a cup of coffee. Okay, here's my point. We sit there and we say, I have no time to give to the house of the Lord financially. But I had $30 for McDonald's, right? What was the priority? I'd rather have a good cup of coffee from Starbucks. And when it comes time to give to the house of the Lord, well, you know, next time. That's a priority question. It's a priority. Is there anything wrong with you having Starbucks? I say buy stock in Starbucks if you want to. I wouldn't, but buy stock in Starbucks if you want to. Own a franchise. That's not the issue. The issue is, what's the priority? Don't say, I have to give from what's important to me, but the parking lot is the house of God. Can't do it. Can't do it. I mean, I'm talking about me, guys. I was convicted, okay? I tithe, I give. Jeanette and I both have always lived by that principle. When we haven't, we lived by the bad side of that, having that principle. But when Jeanette would say to me, Joshua, I feel like we need to give a little bit extra here, and my answer is, well, I don't really have the money. That's the wrong attitude. Because if I have the money for McDonald's sweet teas, then I don't value the priority of building the kingdom. Maybe it's in missions or something else. Because I'd rather just have sweet tea in my stomach. You see what I'm saying, guys? I mean, does that start to kind of all kind of lay a foundation? Don't get upset with me. Okay, get upset with me. You can leave the church, I suppose. Therefore, those who will not use the providence of God, okay, as an excuse, they desire to make the kingdom first. And here's what I'm going to say, guys. Make God and his kingdom your priority. Okay. Haggai wants us to be those who are not robbed because we've robbed ourselves. God didn't rob you. God didn't rob you. You robbed yourself. And that's what Haggai is saying. Stop robbing yourself. You're sitting here saying I'm discouraged and I can't get things right in the economy and the inflation. And remember, all this is building towards God wants to do something exponential in the season of blessing in 2015 in our life. I really believe it. But I really believe we got to get the kingdom priority first to get to that point. Okay? So, here we go. Because here's what happens. The crops failed. But they knew this. That God promised them, if they were faithful Jews, they remembered this promise. That their land would always be blessed. That's a promise out of Deuteronomy 28. The Jews knew. Keep the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your being. I will bless you. I will bless the fruit of your labor. They knew that from Deuteronomy 28. Now they're here in Jerusalem and they're not blessed. What's going on? Keep this context. Ready? I'm going to quote you the words of Jesus. Jesus, Matthew 6:33. Don't ever worry and say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Doesn't that sound like what Haggai just told them? Clothes? Food? Provision? Jesus says, don't ever worry about what you're going to eat, where you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Everyone is concerned about these things, and your heavenly Father certainly knows you need all of them. But first, he is concerned with his kingdom and what has his approval. Then all of these things will be added. That's Jesus. That's Jesus speak 101. But that's Jesus talking about the promise in Deuteronomy 28, which Haggai is trying to remind Judah to remember. And now Jesus is trying to remind us Guys, the Lord knows you need all of these things. Hello. He's not oblivious to this. He knows how it all works. He knows how the whole thing is. He knows you stress about life. Don't, if you keep the kingdom your top priority. The kingdom is what's most important to God. The kingdom is what's his legacy. If your top priority is God and his legacy, he will find a way to make the things you need happen in your life. He will. I don't know how he does it. And I am telling you, as I preach this to you, I am preaching a lot of this in faith right now. I am preaching the majority of this in faith. Okay. So, thankfully, Israel listened. The leaders were stirred to do God's will. And then Haggai says that God said, I am pleased with you that I am glorified. Can I tell you what this all boils down to? It's not natural. It's not natural. Your problem and my problem is not how do I pay the water bill? How do I fix the car? Where's my next job going to come from? It's spiritual. Right? It's spiritual. Because the natural stuff gets answered if the kingdom's the priority. If the kingdom's the priority, the Lord brings it into its proper flow. So let's get the spiritual battle figured out. So in conclusion, how do you keep the kingdom a priority? And where do you keep the kingdom a priority? Here we go. It starts with an attitude of worship, praise, thanksgiving, service, sacrifice, giving. But it cannot just start with an attitude and end with an attitude. An attitude must be followed up with action. Because if you don't follow up the attitude with action, life will compete with the kingdom. And the kingdom will lose every time you prioritize life over the kingdom. So we can have the praise Jesus in the iPod all day long, and we can plug it into our ears and say, I'm going to bless the Lord, and not keep the kingdom a priority, life will find a way to drown out the kingdom. It will. And we know that because Jesus says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, which means the forceful, and the forceful take command of it. So if life takes command of you, then guess what? The kingdom takes a back seat. But if you're about pushing the kingdom forward, then the kingdom takes the front seat, and then you are used in a kingdom perspective to push all the other things. And then God says, and oh, by the way, when you're worried about how you're going to take care of that next bill, I'll find a way. Amen. Because I'm God. And I open up the spigot, and the blessing comes down because you kept the kingdom a priority. And I knew you needed it, and I took care of you. To show you, when you think about me and my house, you don't have to worry about where am I going to eat, what am I going to eat, what am I going to wear, where am I going to drink, what's going to happen, Lord? I know you are stressed about it. Don't let life be your priority. Let the kingdom be your priority. Amen. Okay. So, amen. So here's what we go, guys. Make it a priority. Don't get caught up in good intentions. Don't get distracted and don't get forgetful. Keep the kingdom a priority. When the kingdom is your priority, it will be the top billing in your life. Now, last little point. Physically speaking, Israel was being challenged, right? Keep the kingdom a priority, Israel. How are you going to do that, Lord? Well, I'm going to do it in my heart. No, you got to do it with some action now. So how am I going to do it? Remember that parking lot for 16 years? Get back to building that. That's where I asked you to walk it out. That's where I asked you to walk it out. I already told you. Now just start walking it out. So now walk it out. So get, he told him in Haggai, get the lumber, get the wood, start building. Because that's where it's going to get walked out right now. Then I'm going to really know if you really mean it, if you start building. And as you see in this little graph, took about 15 plus years, but they got that temple built. Took them some time. Why? There's only a few, but they got it done. So here's where I'm going to say. Today, the local church, and listen, if you left this church right now and said, okay, I'm done. It's the last message I'm going to hear from this guy. And you go to some other church, can I tell you something? I'll tell you. Get plugged in and put the kingdom as a priority and serve the house of the Lord. Amen. This house or any house where the Lord of the Lord is coming true and in spirit. Serve. Okay? So this doesn't let you off the hook. If you say, well, I just don't want to do that. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'll say, go do that over there too. Okay? You get what I'm saying, people? It's not just me now. Today, the local church not only serves as a spiritual hospital for the seeking, searching, wounded, and lost, it is a table for the hungry. It is a place of instruction for those who need learning. It is a home for the homeless. It is lasting answers for those who are struggling with questions. And without your commitment or my commitment, this house, Maranatha Church, this hospital closes. Can I say it again? Without my commitment and your commitment, this hospital closes. Because, like with Judah, it turns into a parking lot with 16 years of neglect. Happens. Right? It's not a threat. It's just what happens. If life gets more important, and this is not a priority for me or for anyone else, it goes the way of a dodo bird. So, what are we saying? If we think we can survive with such an approach, remember, God is the one who closes up the reins. He's the one who controls the harvest, and he is the one who wants to gauge the hearts of people. Israel heard and was motivated to work past their failures into a present reality. They became a faithful remnant. And God says later that the glory came in the rebuilt temple. It wasn't just a building. His glory came back down. And to that end, the Lord exhorted Israel, and now here's the word of the Lord for us. Be strong and work, Haggai 2, 4, and 5. The Lord is calling us to be a people that he finds pleasure in because we have a renewed dedication to glorify him and want his blessing in our lives forever. And I opened this by asking the question, will you keep the kingdom a priority in your life? So here we go. Here's my last question I'm going to ask you for today. Because we're talking about providence. Let's not use God's providence as an excuse not to build his kingdom. And now priority. And here's what I'm going to ask you, because I'm asking me. Don't answer this. Don't. You really need to pray. Will Maranatha Church be a priority for you this year? I'm not saying I'm the best at what I do. I'm not saying this is the only place where the word of the Lord isn't being preached. There are other wonderful houses where the word of the Lord is being preached with good, solid believers. I'm saying, can we say, Lord, one way in which I will keep the kingdom a priority is by keeping Maranatha Church a priority. That's just one way. You got to work it out in other areas in your life too. But this is just one way. In other words, for Judah, the reality was they were supposed to keep the Lord a priority in their own homes, paneled or not. But the temple was also a priority to God. And if it stayed a parking lot, the blessing wasn't coming into anyone's home. But when they got back to rebuilding it, his glory came back down, and that became a priority in their lives. His glory was there, and everyone reaped the benefit of it. Everyone did. Everyone was blessed. So, I believe God wants to use us to build the kingdom if we'll make his kingdom a top priority. I'm asking you because, as I said to you, I've had the worst possible week in 39 years of my life. I've had one of the worst, if not the worst possible week. And as I sat there and said, I don't know if I can even preach this and even believe it based on the week I had two choices. Is he going to be a priority in my life? Or do I just fold it up and go something else in life? You know, in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, in my attitude, in my word, in my book, whatever, right? And I said, no. I don't understand all of what's going on right now, but I'm going to double down on God. I have no other choice. If I don't keep him a priority and double down on him, then I can guarantee I'm going to have less harvest, less blessing, less provision, less pleasing. And I can use all the excuses of life I want, and God's not going to be fooled by any of them. Because he's asking me one question. Joshua, is the kingdom your priority? If it is, you better get back in the trench. Don't throw your gun down and say, I'm crawling out of the trench, putting my hands up and deserting. Get back in the trench and hold your ground. That's if it's your priority. Well, for about 3 days, I was really upset. ultimately, I got about a quarter of the way out of the trench, and then I climbed back down the trench and picked up my God gun and said, that's where I'm at. Hallelujah. You're my priority. Amen. And whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I'm challenging you as I've been challenged. I'm not there yet, guys. I'm not there yet. I'm in my heart, I'm just working through it. But I do believe 2015 has an opportunity to be a tremendous year of blessing. Exponential and infinite.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnian was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.